This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Rachel Martin. There is not much Sacha Baron Cohen won't do for a laugh.
Yet you match. I'm my name is Borat.
He has splashed his face with toilet water as Borat, the clueless TV reporter from Kazakhstan.
I'm dancing. I used to be a dancer.
Partially disrobed in front of Congressman Ron Paul as Bruno, the flamboyant Austrian fashion journalist.
May I ask you, who are you wearing?
Who am I? I'm wearing John Galliano.
And if you watched red carpet coverage before this year's Academy Awards, you may remember him as the dictator, General Aladdin, who spilled an urn full of fake ashes onto TV host Ryan Seacrest.
It's okay for you. Now, if somebody asks you what you're wearing, you will say, "Come, Jogil."
Going to the Academy Awards as General Aladdin reminded me of the good old days of doing my old stuff.
I recently spoke with Sacha Baron Cohen, out of character, about his good old days as Borat, Bruno, and Ali G, and his latest character, General Aladdin, in the new film The Dictator. The comedy follows the leader of a fictional oil-rich North African country on the verge of democracy. The story may seem inspired by the recent civil unrest in North Africa and the Middle East, but Sacha Baron Cohen says he and his co-writers actually started writing the film script before the Arab Spring began.
And suddenly, you know, there were demonstrations in Egypt and in Tunisia. And then Colonel Gaddafi was in the news. You know, people were asking me, wait a minute, what happened? Did Colonel Gaddafi get hold of your script? Because he's acting it out. And when Osama bin Laden was killed, we were sitting in the writer's room extremely depressed. Navy SEAL Team 6 had killed Osama bin Laden and one of our comedy bits. Because we were saying, you know, Osama bin Laden's been hiding in the dictator's palace, in General Aladdin's palace for the last 10 years, and he's the worst house guest ever, you know. He will never leave. Last year for his birthday, I bought him luggage. Luggage! You know, and he's, you know, he's putting the wrong DVDs in the wrong DVD cases, and he's, you know, leaves a mess in the shower. You know, if you want to know the true meaning of terrorism, go to the toilet after Osama bin Laden. You know, so...
Well, that stayed in the film.
Yes, well, we had to change it by making it... We came up with this idea that they killed Osama bin Laden's double, you know, and so everything is about, you know, they never really killed him in Pakistan.
Is there such a thing for you as too soon? Too soon to touch a particular subject and turn it into comedy? Something like the ouster and death of a Libyan dictator?
Not really. I mean, in regards to him, I mean, listen, he was a dreadful mass murderer. So, you know, the sooner you can make jokes about him, the better. I mean, you know, part of the problem was that the Libyans weren't allowed to make any jokes about him while he was around. In these dictatorships, there is a censorship of comedy. You know, there's a good reason why you've never really heard of any well-known North Korean comedians. Well, apart from Kim Jong-il. You know, I don't think so. I don't think so. Oh, but, you know, if there's any joke, I don't believe in just shocking the audience. You know, the idea is really to be funny. And, you know, you come at it from the perspective of this character. In this case, it's an extreme character. You know, he's a torturer. He's a misogynist, a homophobe, an anti-Semite, an anti-Zionist, a hater of the West, a hater of democracy. He's a narcissist, thinks he's a demigod, is ultimately deluded. So from each of those aspects, you have to kind of be true to the character. And that allows you a plethora of comic targets. So we're never trying to be offensive for the sake of being offensive. We're trying to think about what comic situations would actually happen if somebody like that was working in a vegan health food store in Brooklyn.
So this film, though, is a pretty significant departure from Borat or Bruno. I mean, in those films, you're in character and you're kind of riffing off of real people and their reactions to you. And this is different. This is a straight up scripted narrative comedy.
Well, it's a hybrid in that, yes, it does not involve anyone who's unsuspecting. There's no, you know, what we can term real people in this. There are actors, but there is a lot of improvisation.
Do you enjoy it as much?
Yes, you know, I do miss some of the adrenaline of, you know, it used to be scary doing the old shows and the old movies, but it was fun. You know, you're running away from the cops and, you know, obviously the interviewees sometimes had guns on them and you know, there was an excitement and you get addicted to the adrenaline, which is actually not a healthy thing.
Is it fair to say you miss those characters? I mean, you can't go back to them. They're done, right? Because the jig is up. People know.
Yes, I do miss them. I do miss them. I mean, I end up, you know, living the character. So with Borat, you know, I ended up growing the moustache, you know, not wearing deodorant, you know, being in character for often, you know, 12, 14 hours a day.
And you were happy that way?
Yes, you know, it's bizarre. And listen, I'm obviously quite a peculiar guy to be able to do that. But yeah, I love all the characters, you know. So, you know, I miss Borat, I miss Ali G. This is quite a bizarre thing to say, isn't it? You know, because they don't actually exist. but I miss playing them.
Who in your life cracks you up? Are you the funniest person in your immediate family and circle of friends, or is there someone who quietly outshines you in that dynamic?
Listen, the reason why I do all my comedy is to make my friends laugh, my childhood friends from England. And they are all as funny as me, in my opinion.
Are they?
They make me laugh hysterically, yeah. And my humour, you know, that's what happened when I started doing Ali G. I thought, no one is going to find this funny outside of my group of friends. So that's been the surprise of my career, finding out that other people share a sense of humour with me.
Do you still use your friends as a comic barometer? Do you still call them and care what they think? What if they tell you they don't like something?
Well, they have done that in the past. I mean, I remember showing the Ali G show to a friend of mine, Lawrence, in England. It was the first Ali G show in America. I said, I want to show you this before I put it out in America. And he fell asleep within 20 minutes. So I was a little bit worried. But yeah, they generally like the stuff, you know, and they're very honest if they don't. Oh, everyone around me in England is extremely honest.
Does your ego bruise easily?
Not really. I appreciate honesty. I appreciate honesty. And also I know, listen, as a performer, some of the stuff you do will be good and some of the stuff you do will be bad. And the stuff that you do that's bad is really useful because then you can, you know, we call it in the style of acting that I learned, you call it the flop. It's important to have the flop for you then to work out how to do the counter to that.
So you know I'm going to ask, what's your flop?
What's my flop? You know, in Borat, there was a whole chunk of the movie set in Mexico that was terrible, dreadful, you know. And we played it out and no one laughed. And you think to yourself, wait a minute, how did I even do that? What was going on in my head? But luckily, we go and we try and, you know, amend the movie and, you know, get away with it. And so far, you know, I feel we've kind of got away with it.
Sacha Baron Cohen, he joined us from our New York studios. His latest film is called The Dictator. Sacha, thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me on.